Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Healthcare Consultants Podcast, brought to you by the Chicago Health Law and Professional Licensing Firm of Michael V. Favia and Associates. This is your host, Nick Augustine, and today our guest is Frederick Wallner from the 3 Point Healthcare Company. And in this episode of the Healthcare Consultants Podcast, Freddie Wallner talks about the success people have losing weight when they combine the forces of physical therapy, behavioral health, and nutrition. This is a multidisciplinary approach at 3 Point Healthcare. Let's say welcome to our guest, Fred Wallner.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to be wearing the hat you wear today.
Well, it's been a long journey for sure. But I was a college athlete, and after college, I went into financial services. And although I was pretty good at that, I didn't seem like it was I had found my calling. I had an opportunity to open a fitness and roller hockey facility on the beach, North Avenue Beach here in Chicago. And while I owned and operated that outdoor fitness facility, I started training, personal training some clients. And I found that to be more in line with what I really wanted to do long term. I had the good fortune of having a client who was looking to lose a considerable amount of weight before her wedding, and she and I became close friends. But as much as I tried to help her lose weight using exercise as the only part of the intervention, I had realized really kind of early on that exercise alone was not going to solve this problem that so many of us face, which is being overweight and perhaps being in pain emotionally or physically and being unable to exercise and not knowing really what to eat. That was in the late 80s, early 90s. And, you know, since then, the proliferation of the internet, there's lots of information out there, a lot of misinformation regarding the emergent sciences of, exercise science and nutrition sciences and behavioral health, et cetera. So, I went into the personal training business, and as much as I tried to help people lose weight, when you only had an exercise intervention, it didn't work very well. And the efficacy of my work was really important. So I added dietitians and felt like, you know, this would be perfect way to help people is just to have the nutrition side and the exercise. And as much as I thought that was going to work, it really still had a very low success rate. And I just came to the realization that we were going to have to address at some point the maladaptive behaviors people acquire, associated with food, secondary to, stress and anxiety and perhaps depression. You know, people feel these emotions, stress and anxiety, and a lot of times they go to food for comfort. So between having to address stress, anxiety, and depression and how that affects somebody's physical health, in addition, I realized that we really needed to help patients, really people in general, with behavior change, which proved to be a very a difficult thing for most adults, is to engage in behavior change as behavior patterns are reinforced over years and years and years. So we added behavioral health. We enlisted the help of licensed clinical social workers. And it was that time we really started to be able to provide predictable and long-lasting health outcomes with this patient population. So sorry to go on a little ramble right there, but I figured I would take a stab at trying to answer it at once.
Yeah. Hey, well, you did a good job because I understood. So, and I'll tell you, the behavioral aspect of it is sort of the when you look at it in the mirror and you say, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with you? A lot of people try so many different things, and as we were talking, before the show, for me, alcohol is one of the things that really, when I cut that back or cut it out, I saw weight drop off. Now, that might be an allergy thing, as I've come to figure out, that I didn't even realize I had for many years, but for whatever reason, there's always one thing that seems to work or not work for people. And for me, you take the alcohol out and people say, well, and this is not really a show about alcohol treatment, but people are saying, well, why was I drinking so much? And it is reinforced habit and behavior. Sometimes it's addiction for people, but you take that out and you still find yourself, and I found myself still going for, you know, instead of like craving for a drink, now I crave ice cream. And so you lose weight with the one, you know, with the one solution, then you develop another issue. So it makes sense to me that people fail and you try and try again. So getting everything all into one ball, it seems like that is what's working. So tell us a little bit more about the people who come to you. What are they coming to you with? Are there issues with COVID and everything? I know a lot of people stopped going to the gym. A lot of people started eating and drinking more. And a lot of the good habits can fall by the wayside really quickly.
Sure. Before I answer that question, if you don't mind, I just want to address the alcohol thing because it's so prevalent in our society, in our culture. And, you know, as much as people try, if they're an alcoholic or a drug addict, you know, there's behaviors and decisions that they can make about, you know, whether or not they want to go into a bar or hang out with people who have access to narcotics. But so much of what we see in the field is disordered eating, undiagnosed disordered eating. And, you know, if you're obese or morbidly obese, there's something disordered about your eating patterns. And unfortunately, primary care and a lot of healthcare providers, you know, just are tentative to diagnose that because they don't want to hurt the patient's feelings. And the reality is if people are using food in unhealthy ways, you know, people could choose not to drink and choose not to go to a bar, but everybody has to eat. So it compounds the problem of having a food addiction for so many people. And then with behavioral health, which is the key component to our success with our patients, you know, when I started doing this, there was a stigma against behavioral health 20 years ago. And when we said that, you know, this is an integral part of your long-term success, what people would say to me, you know, 20 years ago was, well, I don't need that. I'm not crazy. And so people resisted getting the help that they needed a while ago. But I think that although that stigma is not completely gone, it's certainly reduced to a certain extent. And we have so many patients who come to us, and when we explain that behavioral health is a component of what we do, they say, you know, that's exactly what I need. You know, I am very stressed out, and I typically go to food, and that ends up making me feel worse. So I'm thrilled that that the rest of the world is caught up, and there's no shame to receiving behavioral health counseling, and it seems to be one of the keys to unlock this very challenging, this obesity challenge that affects so many of us. And you know, there's so many solutions out there that are not evidence based, or you know, really just marketing gimmicks, or you know, juices, or you know, exercise fads or pills or whatever. So I'm thrilled to be a part of the solution that's evidence-based and backed by physicians, and physicians refer patients to us. But to answer your question about COVID and people not exercising and falling out of their routine, you know, COVID affected people in different ways. You know, we were forced to close our clinics temporarily. And I got lucky in making the decision to switch everybody to telehealth very early on, even for physical therapy. So although we couldn't put our hands on our patients and do manual therapy, we were doing assisted exercises for therapeutic exercise and keeping them going with their dietitians and their behavioral health clinicians. We actually did an internal study for the patients that engaged with us over telehealth and patients who did not. And for all of the patients, 100% of the patients who engaged with us, because we made it voluntary, if they chose to engage with us over telehealth, they either plateaued or continued to progress. And every person who basically self-discharged in March of 2020, they all backslid. So it really reinforced the value of our team and the protocols that we use to help our patients.
You know, I've found that myself, habits are easily made and easily broken. And falling out of the habit of going to the gym, for example, or, you know, anything else, it's so easy to do. And, you know, making that habit is hard. You know, reinforcing the behavior and behavioral health and learning about habits, learning about ourselves, I feel like someone might learn the trigger of why certain things make them go for food. You know, I think about myself. Why did I was an overeater as a kid. And for me, my parents drank too much. And it never occurred to me until later that someone said that, you know, they were talking about someone, their own weight loss, whatever story they were telling me, that that's something that they had heard before. Kind of a common thing that I never even thought about, or, you know, it's like all those habits that we develop over time because of people we're around. And I think of it as ships on the sea, the similar effect to when, let's say, you know, we just had Columbus Day not long ago, you know, they come over in the ships, but the Native Americans had no idea they were coming because they didn't know what ships were, so they didn't recognize them on the horizon. So it's that unknown unknown in our lives that may be triggering why we're failing at weight loss. So let's talk a bit more about the physical therapy part. I'm interested in that, and I'm wondering, does that tie in at all with any chiropractic at all? Because that's been something that has been very helpful for a lot of people as well, because they, once they can move correctly, they can work out and do more, and that's a good thing.
For sure. The physical therapy is, you know, I mentioned earlier that the behavioral health is the key component. It would be hard-pressed to really tell you which one is more important than the other. The physical therapy is incredibly important because most people, just about all people who are dealing with weight issues are dealing with orthopedic dysfunction too. So whether it's knee or ankle pain or hip or back pain, you know, people who are carrying around excess adipose tissue, you know, excess fat, are also people who have pain and dysfunction. And, you know, just going to the gym a lot of times is a painful endeavor for people, which, you know, leads to a lack of motivation. It really takes a person who's going to overcome a lot of pain, and the exercise hurts, and then it creates more pain over days and days and days. So having skilled labor, a physical therapist to develop a plan of care that not only speaks to your musculoskeletal dysfunction, but also helps create a plan that's sustainable and fun and something that you're willing to do for the rest of your life, is really one of the key components to our success. And you'll probably hear me say that when you ask me next about the nutrition, because they really are interdisciplinary and mutually reinforcing, you know, a set of disciplines for our patients. But, you know, when you were talking about habits, I feel kind of fortunate that that the internet and everything around technology was created right around the same ideas that the idea for 3PT was being formulated in my head, because I had access to a lot of research that, you know, normally I'd have to go to the library and look up microfilm or microfiche and read long, you know, research papers. And so when I started, I was really interested in learning about theoretical models of motivation and how to help people stay motivated. And what I've learned through that self-study process is that motivation does come and go, and it's really impossible to control or to navigate through. And so I shifted from a motivational model to a behavior change model, while also dealing on the side with things like, you know, personality disorders or eating disorders or, you know, stress or anxiety disorders. So those things need to be addressed, but they have to mutually coexist with that behavior change, because if patients come to us and they're not seeing results, you know, in the first 3 to 6 weeks, they're probably not going to stick around. So we have to get them progressing while we're also treating whatever is underlying their underlying concerns, whether it's a behavioral disorder or a musculoskeletal disorder. Does that make sense?
It does. It really does. It just seems so. When you look at treating all these things together in a holistic approach, it seems so silly to do any one of them in a vacuum without the other. And with nutrition, okay, people can go online and research, because I do this myself, what's good to eat before I work out, if I'm doing cardio or lifting or this or that. And there's a lot of times that I find conflicting information.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. So, you know, being a college athlete, I used to, and the younger version of myself, I used to categorize people in two ways. They were either athletes or regular people. And through my experience, I learned that that was not an accurate lens through which to see our patient population. People are either healthy and they have a healthy metabolism, or they're not healthy. And whether they have a damaged metabolism or there's some other underlying comorbidity, right? You mentioned COVID. That was a word that's gotten kicked around a lot. You know, we've been dealing with
comorbidities. Everyone knows what it is now.
Everyone knows what it is now, right? So you have underlying conditions that impact other conditions, right? And obesity is really the driver for so many other conditions, diseases, and disorders. And, you know, we don't cure any of that, of course, but we certainly make it a lot better. And so when it comes to nutrition and misinformation, I have to, a full disclosure here, I'm not a dietitian, but my wife is. And when I was courting my wife, 15 years ago, she was studying for her boards. And the only way she would agree to spend time with me is if I did flashcards with her at Starbucks. And so I got to look under the hood of what was being taught in the nutrition and dietetic schools, because I got to learn a lot just by doing flashcards with my wife. But my take on it is a fairly simplistic view, in spite of the fact that this is a very complex, you know, deal that we're discussing. And the first thing is, how do we know in spite of the fact that humans have lived on the planet for millennia without any expert help on nutrition, and we haven't just survived, right? We've thrived. But nevertheless, the obesity epidemic is, you know, really only two or three generations. We're talking about 50 years or so. So it's really a blip on the map. But when we're developing a plan of care or a nutrition plan for somebody, it seems ridiculous to me that we're not first analyzing what somebody's metabolic needs are, how much food they do need. And so instead of guessing as to, you know, how many calories a person needs, we do a metabolic analysis, which is a breath-by-breath analysis over about 15 minutes, and we use a hospital-grade metabolic cart. And from there, we will build a nutrition plan based on somebody's metabolic needs. And then we could go and then dive a little bit deeper based on what the person's likes are and dislikes are, whether they travel and eat out a lot or work late and eat prepared foods, or they're cooking and preparing their own food. So we're a little bit agnostic when it comes to nutrition. We don't plant our flag and say this is good and this is bad, do this and don't do that. We're really looking for healthy options that people enjoy, that are easy to prepare, they're, you know, inexpensive, and, you know, and it's something that somebody could do the rest of their life. It's similar to our exercise plan of care in that if we're really pushing somebody really, really hard, we might be able to achieve an outcome with them, but it's probably not going to last if they're not willing to do it for long periods of time. So it's the same with nutrition. You know, you could really restrict somebody's nutrition and you're probably going to help them lose weight, but that's why so many people lose weight and gain it back again, is because the plan that they're on originally is too aggressive and not sustainable. And unfortunately, so many people feel like, you know, they're overweight, they're sick of all the things that come with being overweight, and they're going to make a difference. They're going to, you know, take on all this behavior change. But because of their plan is too aggressive, it's not sustainable. They can't stay up with it. And eventually they fall back. And when you do that, you gain the weight back. And, you know, it really messes with your metabolism. And it messes with your head, too, because it makes you feel like, you know, maybe I was born to be overweight. Or, you know, this is just not something I could do. And you look at people who are at a normal weight and you say, oh, well, they're just lucky. And the reality is, you know, unfortunately, people are looking to lose weight quickly, and then at that point, they'll develop a new plan for maintenance, and it just doesn't work that way. When you lose weight quickly, your body wants it back. You know, your metabolism will react to any sort of, you know, everything in your body wants homeostasis. So if you lose weight too quickly, it wants it back. If you gain weight too quickly, it wants you to shed it as well. So it's trying to keep you safe and healthy. And any sudden moves that are intense will be met with resistance by your, biologically from yourself. Does that make
right.
sense?
Right. Well, it's like the idea of people are saying, well, I need to lose weight, so I'm going to not eat. Ah, wrong, you know? Then everything, the time you do eat, your body's going to say, I'm hoarding onto this, you know, until forever. You know, there's all sorts of ways that people can, you know, get it. Here's what I think about nutrition, and I like the idea that y'all don't stick to any hard, fast rules from any camp, because I think it just can be different for different people. And it seems like if you stress out so much over how many counting calories or trans fats or this or that, you can give yourself all that I think about stress causes weight gain. I mean, the cortisol spikes and everything else that goes along with just basic stress. Don't do that. It doesn't make sense. You know, you have to be – if you're starving yourself and you're, like, having a miserable life because of the food and the diet, and you're only eating the food that you can pick up by the place, and the only food they supply – you know, you just want them to taste good every now and then. It just doesn't – that's not a sustainable thing. And I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but the only people I know who've been successful at keeping – losing weight and keeping it off had to really change, like, how they look at themselves and how they look at their life and just be fully committed to feeling healthy and the reinforcer of how good that feels. You know, and buying new clothes that fit right, that's a good thing. You know, we're having the problem of I lost too much weight and I can't wear my suit that I normally wear because it looks like I stole and raided a fat man's closet. You know, those are good problems to have. So when people are putting all – so you get your nutrition, your behavioral health, your physical therapy all together, and what other types of things do people report as far as outside of just weight loss? What other ways are their lives improved?
You know, I'm so glad that you answered that question, asked me that question, because one of the gifts that 3PT has given me in my life is just the idea of how much help we are providing to people. And it's not always indicative of, you know, pounds, you know, weight on a scale. It certainly can manifest itself in that way. And in 2022, we're going to embark on a pretty robust research project where we are going to study the quality of life of our patients before they engage with 3PT and after. So, you know, I like to say what I've mentioned before is, you know, we don't cure depression, but we make it better. You know, we can't cure an anxiety disorder, but we could help with it. There's no cure for diabetes or arthritis, but we just make all of this better. And so when we get feedback from our patients, whether it's on a Google review or they might write something nice on Facebook, it's just a complete package that we're really just trying to help somebody make somebody feel better and improve their quality of life. And this manifests itself in dozens of ways, whether it's somebody getting a better job that they've been going for or improving relationships inside their family or, you know, getting married or, you know, it shows up in so many ways. And the thing is that's just so surprising to me is just I still feel like we're innovators, but we know that obesity is affecting 50-60% of our population. We know that mental health crisis is going through the roof. And I just feel like wellness cannot wait. This is something that everybody needs to take control of or at least begin to try to embark on something to take better care of themselves. And this self-care that seems so easy for certain people, it seems so intuitive for some people, is so hard for other people. And as much as people try to go to the gym and go on a diet, you know, they need help. And so I just feel like this is not something that could wait. And by engaging in these types of programs, whether it's with us or any of our competitors, this is something that you could do actively to improve your life immediately. And unfortunately, the difficult thing on a lot of times is getting started. I don't think wellness can wait anymore. You know, this is the key to the self-care is the key to so many other positive things in people's life. But what I've learned, particularly over the last few years, is the reason why people come to us, they want to improve their life. The number one reason is because they want to be there for their family. But it's also the dichotomy is also that the responsibilities that they have to take care of their family prevent them from the self-care that they need to invest into. So, you know, people who are, you know, working very hard to provide their family, they're carpooling their kids, they're taking them to school, they're doing sports and other kinds of things. These are the obstacles people need to overcome. So I would really, my vision for the future is for us to have a paradigm shift where people understand that if they take better care of themselves, they'll be better at work, they'll be better for their family, and, you know, they'll just have a more fulfilling life.
Yeah. It's all, once you get to that point, it's hard to recognize yourself before when you kick bad habits and you address behavioral health issues and you come to terms with things. And you try to look back at yourself when you were struggling and miserable, and it's like, I don't even know who that person was anymore. I have a couple interesting questions for you to finish off our time here. One is allergies. And I know that that is something that people who don't know that they have allergy problems, that can be such a mystery component. Figuring that out can be a game changer. The other thing is being on pills, you know, for pain or, you know, stress. I mean, we watch TV. There are more pills. I mean, I don't take any pills. I don't even take aspirin. You know, I stay away from all the pharmaceutical stuff. And there are pills out there for this and that. And I think, man, these people who are on 10 different pills, you know, for every ad that they, you know, and I don't know if they need, you know, you have, if you're on two pills, now you need four pills because three pills might not work because one of the pills has to counteract some side effect of the other. After a while, your body, how does your body even know what's going on with all the pills and all the pharmaceutical things? I would think that when people get healthy, you know, strip that stuff away and let the body does what it does naturally. Now, I know I'm not asking you if this is a doctor, but something that people might want to think about.
Yeah, so Nick, you bring up a really good point. But what I would, to answer your question, then we could circle back to allergies. But to answer your question or the point that I think that you're trying to make is just to circle back to something we just talked about a few minutes ago, which was comorbidities. So unfortunately, so many of our patients are dealing with hypertension, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, you know, kidney disease, and, you know, and all of, and a lot of pain with orthopedic dysfunction. So, you know, and then even today, we know so much more about nutrition and metabolism, and some of our patients really have trouble with metabolic syndrome. And so there are pharmacological solutions to some of these things. I can't say I advocate for any or I'm against any of them. I'm not a medical doctor. And so we rely on the physicians who refer us patients to do deep dive on their patients and what's needed for, as pharmacological interventions. But I do know that in conjunction with the pharmacological intervention and the work that we do with our patients, we have seen a dramatic reduction in overall medication use. And so that's why I want to just reinforce what I said is this self-care thing, it's a driver of overall health. When you're exercising and eating healthy and you're at a stabilized body weight, a lot of these other diseases and disorders no longer require medicine to offset them. When it comes to allergies, exactly. And so when I met with an orthopedic surgeon and I was showing him the outcome of one of the patients that he sent me, and, you know, and he's worried about, you know, a total knee arthroscopy for this person. And he says, do you know how much money you're saving downstream in the healthcare ecosystem? Because this person's now no longer at risk for a diabetic coma. Their reduction of a medical event associated with cardiovascular disease dramatically reduced. So I'm really confident we're putting a lot of good work out there in the world. I'm very fortunate to be surrounded by, and of course I'm biased, but I feel like we have the most talented team of dietitians and behavioral health clinicians and PTs, you know, around. I've been in Chicagoland doing this for a while. I've never been surrounded by a smarter group of dedicated and passionate healthcare professionals. So they're able to work with their patients around allergies and, you know, food allergies as well as other allergies. And it's always nice to see that when, you know, we're doing rounds and the care team invites me in sometimes just to talk about how the patients are progressing. And so to see that they're addressing these more complex nutrition problems. It's always music to my ears, and it always makes me, you know, just wink my eye and realize how thankful I am to have those credentialed medical professionals and registered dietitian, licensed dietitian, nutritionist on our team who are able to provide the care that it's so scarce, right? You know, it's very hard to get medical nutrition therapy, at least it is in Chicago. There's just not a lot of dietitians available for, you know, weekly consults. It's usually one or two, three visits after a diagnosis of diabetes or some other medical condition. And one or two visits is just, it's not going to swing it. It's not going to cut it.
It's just not enough. It's what I think that what really helps people, from my own perspective, has been the reinforcer of seeing the progress and being able to, you know, and for me it was, you know, getting onto the last notch on a, you know, on the belt, or, you know, cause it, you know, we're just or trying on a shirt that you haven't worn for a long time and, hey, I can wear this again, you know, and like seeing the progress, you know, cause you, I don't know, seeing and feeling the progress makes it like, wow, all that work paid off. If I continue to do that, that'll pay off, you know. And, you know, me sitting there staring at the cookies today, they had the chocolate chip cookies, and I said, what are the other ones? Peanut butter. They look so good. But it's, you know, I know that it's like, I think I'll make it to the gym today, but I'm not absolutely sure. And what if I don't, you know? Am I going to, do I want the cookie? Yes. You know, can I also close my eyes and imagine how good it was last time? Yes, you know. And it's like the cost-benefit thing I do in my head, and I say, all right, Cookie, I will say hi to you another time. I've had the mental thought in my head of how good you are. I know you're really good, but I also, you know, I'm going to feel really good about, you know, having the power to pass up on the cookie, you know. So it's like, but I know that every now and then I'll get the cookie or I'll have the ice cream, you know, but – you know, just try to say, just because I have the ice cream I don't have to eat it all, you know. I can save for Friday. So little things like that that I know personally have helped me, and it's been through talking a lot of people like yourself and working with those who, you know, people who help in the holistic idea of getting everything right. And so physical therapy, behavioral health, and nutrition and all that all in one place and one setting, I think is just a wonderful thing. For people who want to get more information and find out what it looks like to be a client, how much time and resource that they should aside, put, you know, what should they do? What are some next steps?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that last question?
How do people follow up on getting involved? They want, you know, what are next steps?
If they want to engage with us, it's pretty easy. Just go to our website, which is 3Point Healthcare. We have 5 locations in and around Chicagoland, and we're growing. We'll probably double in size. Hopefully COVID will be behind us. But I'd be happy to talk to anybody. They could just shoot out an info request on the website, or just go to their primary care physician or their orthopedic doctor or any physician that they're engaged with and ask them if losing weight would be a good idea for them. And if so, if they can make a recommendation or referral to 3PT.
All right. And is insurance covered and based or cash or both?
It is. We are credentialed through Medicare. We're a network with Blue Cross Blue Shield, and we take all major insurances like Aetna and United and Cigna, et cetera. And we're so devoted to customer service. We have patient care advocates at every single clinic who will help you not only verify your benefits, but one of the things you mentioned earlier was cortisol and stress. And sometimes, you know, paying for services like this could create extra stress, which we don't want. So we're very great. We're very good about putting people on payment plans for whatever patient responsibility they have to make sure that we're not adding any additional financial stress to a person who's trying to take better care of themselves.
All right. Well, you get my good do-gooder stamp of approval for helping people.
All right. So I'll take it.
All right. Phone number and email for people who want to reach you that way.
Our phone number is 708-938-3378. Again, it's 708-938-3378. And it's PT Healthcare, one word, P as in physical, T as in therapy, healthcare.com.
All right. Wonderful. All right. Well, thank you for your time. And I want to thank everyone who listens to these podcasts for clicking the like button, the subscribe button on YouTube. Share it on your page. Help people find the information, because everyone sees everyone else trying to everyone's trying to get fit and lose some pounds before the holidays. So there's no better time than now to just take the plunge and get at it. So, Freddie, thank you for being on the program this afternoon, and I wish you well.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Everyone have a great day.
All right.
Bye-bye now.
Take care.